So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be discussing the season premiere of season 4 of Love During Lockup. On this episode, we meet inmate Rob, who constantly surveils his wife Tenny and her kids, Ayana, who is dating her ex's friend's ex-boyfriend, Jamal, Andrew, who has to see a financial planner to check if he can support his girlfriend, Candace, and Joey, who is having to doctor pictures so he can visit his boyfriend, Michael, in prison. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast channel, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O.
How are things going with you? It's been a long time at this channel.
It has been a long time, and I have mixed feelings because it was kind of nice taking a break and only having to record one podcast. But on the other hand, as soon as I saw this episode, I was like, oh yeah, this is like my favorite child.
Yeah, this is a generally much more enjoyable watch. But I think a lot that has to do, compared to 90 Day Fiancé, of course,
sure,
with how it's much tighter because it's only an hour long. Right.
Yes,
and so everything's happening. There's always something going on, the people are a little bit a different breed of crazy, and it's a little bit more of a believable breed of crazy rather than trying to be famous breed of crazy.
Right. Like, these people are truly themselves, because if they weren't trying to be themselves, I feel like they wouldn't want kind of like this.
The things that they let out there, you're like,
right, Like, why don't we start with that? Let's start with Ayana.
Okay.
So in Wykes Bar, Pennsylvania, we're meeting Ayana, 27. And at the beginning, we see a glimpse of her daughter, Amira. She's having her friend Lexi drive her to work because her license was suspended. Ayana is working as a dancer slash stripper. Ayana says she loves her job because her ass be assing and she's going to do anything to be successful. But after her dances, she's in the dressing room trying to count her tips and then seems to change her story because she says she's tired. She said she wanted to stop dancing at 24 and here she is 3 years later. But she likes the money. And she says she's making like $600 a day, and she likes the financial freedom since she has to take care of her two kids, the one that we met earlier, Amira, and her son, Darian. She's talking to the other dancers about her man, Jamal, and how he keeps telling her that he'll be out in less than a year, and everyone's like, mm-hmm, we know that system. Jamal is planning on building and expanding with her. It ends up that Ayana used to live with her friend and her friend's boyfriend, Jamal, so they were all roommates. They're obviously not together, you know, her old friend and Jamal. And Ayana is not friends with that friend anymore, leaving her free to date Jamal. When asked what she likes the most about Jamal, she says his penis. And if she had a mold of it, you know, before he had gone in, she'd be good. Ayana then gets a call from the public defender, who is talking to her about her second DUI charge for being high while driving. She's worried because it seems like trouble is starting to catch up to her. The public defender says he's done everything he can. He says that deferring jail time is just not possible. She'll have to go to jail either for 15 days or possibly as long as 90 days. She says she has kids, so 90 days just isn't possible. She's also worried about not being able to talk to Jamal because prisoners can't talk to other prisoners. Ayana really wants the 15 days and asks what she can do to make that happen. The lawyer tells her that she can go to drug and alcohol counseling, but it also depends on her prior arrests, which we find out that Ayana has been in fights, so that's not going to help her case. She admits that she's a bit of a hothead, and we get video footage of her fighting with Jamal's ex and her old friend slash roommate. After she popped, the friend slash roommate popped Ayana's tires, and so we see Ayana and the friend, well, not really. We see bodies, but it looked like she grabbed her by the head and tried to slam her into the car. So the lawyer then says maybe taking an anger management class would also help. Ayana can't believe that she would have had to serve any time for driving high. She just can't believe that someone would rip away her happiness. All right, so what do you think about Ayana? Like, do you think they're being too hard on her driving high?
I don't. I mean, driving high is... I don't think that's appreciably different than drunk driving, right? And that's, there's just a certain number of people who – there's a certain type of person that just is like, well, no, marijuana is not as bad as alcohol. So right. in all circumstances for everything, marijuana is not as bad as alcohol. So I was just driving a little high, right? And it's like, well, first of all, where is – she's in – oh, you said – let me fill you in on the East Coast. It's Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, Wilkes-Barre. Okay, Wilkes-Barre. Yes, because I'm not – I yeah. must have missed the L in my spelling.
Yeah, and then it's yeah. B-A-R-R-E. It looks like it's yes. everybody wants it to be bar, and it's yep. Barre.
Okay.
But like I don't I can't remember what the status of, you know, legal weed in Pennsylvania is, but it's like even when it's legal, you still can't do it while you're driving. Like beer is legal and you can't carry a beer while you're driving. Hell, all the container laws. There should be like You have a joint on the thing with you. Your vape is currently active on your driver's right. thing. Like you can't drive like that. It's still yeah. intoxication.
It frustrates me people who have this kind of like attitude, like, you know, feeling like there's different shades of gray of, you know, a crime, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And being like, driving high isn't so bad. Like, why am I having to serve jail time for this? You know, I have happiness and these people are going out of their way to steal my happiness because I was driving high. No biggie. And it's just like frustrating to me that people like kind of see like the law just in general as in like relative to them and their situation. Like, I'm sure her shade of gray is, well, I am perfectly capable of driving while high, so why should I have to get in trouble for it?
Well, and the thing is the first time she kind of got what – this was the second time.
Yes,
this is the second right. time like in a row. I think she might have still been on probation from the first time,
right,
which is like,
right.
yeah, that's when you've clearly shown that you didn't learn. You know, it's like I didn't think driving while high is a big deal. And then this is basically the law comes in and catches you the first time and says, nope. Really big fucking deal. Here's how big of a deal we're yeah. making it. This is what we're doing to you. This is the thing. You're supposed to get the message that time that they're like, oh, wow, this is serious, right? And then to go yeah. and do it again means that you're like, clearly didn't get that message, did you? Like, maybe this will give you the memo. We would give you 90 days in jail. And it's just like, yeah, but it's all like everything that happened is – this is a red flag kind of for her already. It's all stuff right. that's happening to her. And it's like, you drove while high yes. twice. Like, that was you.
Yeah.
You made that decision.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in this situation, ideally what should happen is because she has kids, she just should be ankle monitored to her home, right? So that doesn't really, like, take away her, like, having to find, like, child care or anything yeah. like that. But then also is preventing her from working because her work is not the type of work where you can work from home.
Right. It does prevent her from working. And it's a tough thing to figure out what to do with the kids and what an appropriate punishment is because, I mean, mm-hmm. where are the kids going to go? Right. Because I've also yeah. seen people who have like situations like this, especially if they still have to work, where it's like, you know, they have to go to jail for whatever the 15 or 30 days, but they don't do it consecutively. They like spend the weekend in sure. jail for like 6 months, and then, you know, it can add up to it because the yeah. kids shouldn't be punished. But this is like one of the ones right. where it's like, man, if you're this seems like one of those situations where you also have to be concerned that, well, if I keep getting arrested for this specific thing and the reason I'm and also other things, right? Also violent offenses when you're getting in these fights and getting,
yeah, right,
catching stuff for that. Because he was like, well, what about the rest of your record? She's like, well, right? I would be worried if I was her that CPS is going to get involved.
Yeah, that's actually a very legitimate concern. She does not come off as a very sympathetic character at this point. And part of it is like, this was like a very violent fight. Over a man, we're assuming, because I'm assuming that the friend found yeah. out. Yeah, the friend found out that she was dating her ex. And I'm sure they never said anything about cheating, but I'm sure that the roommate may have suspected something was going on just because it's like, you know, it's pretty suspicious if you're all roommates and, yeah. you know, there's probably times that they were home by themselves and she wasn't there. So, I mean, regardless if it's true or not, I'm sure the friend is assuming that there was a cheating situation going on, which is why she has popped these tires. And then Ayana, it looked like, was really winning that fight.
Right. It, that's the thing. I was kind of suspicious from the beginning because we had mm-hmm. Jamal, when we heard him through his, you know, everybody in this episode, we heard mostly here's a picture of them and the phone call that we had with them in the background. When we were doing that, yeah. he was like, well, I was dating bleeped out name at the time. Yes. And then I met her. I was like, oh, no, I feel like bleeped out name is going to be a prominent player in this season.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Yeah. But maybe there's some court pending stuff where they can't discuss the fight. But I thought it was interesting that they showed kind of the camera phone.
Yeah, that was somebody posted that on social media. Like somebody that was not her, right? Clearly, obviously, because it wasn't like, here, take my phone and put stickers on this fight while I get into it with this. Like,
yeah, exactly. It was definitely a social media post where I was like, oh, okay. That's a lot.
Yeah, so it certainly seems like someone who is already externally blaming all of her wrongdoings on, well, you see, the situation was.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. Let's go on to – I want to talk about Joey and Michael because this is a kind of an interesting – I feel like this is not really a story we've seen yet before.
Right.
So things start off – we start off pretty aggressively with Joey. You know, they – like Ayana with the, if I had a mold of his penis, we'd be good to go. Because he's setting up – he lives in Boise and he's setting up a camera and he's trying to like wedge a dog toy under the camera to get it level. And he's like, this boy looks like a butt plug. And it's like, oh, God, no.
Oh, God, please yes. no. Please tell us it's a dog toy.
It was definitely a dog toy.
That's touching your phone.
It was definitely a dog toy.
Well, I mean, let's be real here. Neither should really be touching your phone for sanitary reasons.
It was like touching the stand that his phone was on. It was like – it was okay. A little bit removed from the phone. So anyway, Joey is 46, and he's calling his 40-year-old boyfriend, Michael. So Joey tells us that he came out relatively late in life. He said he was around 30, so that's, you know, talking 16 years. So he says he's still kind of navigating how it is to be an out gay man in his community with his life and everything. So Michael, who seems pretty intent on making this phone call a dirty call, like it immediately, immediately gets on the video call and is like, I'm horny. And it's like, oh, no. So he starts right there. But Joey isn't really about doing that because his dad is in the other room. And his dad's in the other room because he moved back in with his parents after he was struggling with depression. And it's a situation that was supposed to be temporary, but that started 10 years ago. So he's been back at home for a long time. So he met Michael 6 years ago on what he calls a popular dating app, and they hooked up, which I'm guessing is Grindr, by the way. That's my putting out there guess.
Right. Grindr or Tinder?
I would say Grindr because it was hookup at first, right? And
I think more gay guys probably use Grindr than Tinder anyway.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So they hooked –
because Grindr is the original Tinder.
Yes, yeah. Grindr came first for sure.
Yes, it did.
So they hooked up and it was – Joey said it was during his hoe phase, so he didn't really think much of it. He was like just hooking up and moving on until much later when they reconnected before Michael went to prison. So Michael tells us that he's the only gay guy on his whole like prison block, and the other guys in prison, though, they all know about Joey and they say he's like famous there, and they say that Michael was lucky to have found him. So we get back to the call and Michael's still trying to make the dirty talk happen, which makes Joey a little concerned that he's going to be able to keep up with Michael's sex drive once he gets out. So when Michael gets out, he's supposed to get out in 6 to 8 months, and that the plan then is to move out of mom and dad's place into their own place. So there's this other issue where Joey has never been to see Michael in prison because they didn't have any photos of them together beforehand. So they can't like prove that the relationship predates prison. And they're worried about him just being – Joey just being like a drug mule. And so like they're talking about like, well, maybe you can give me a picture of one of your other exes and I can Photoshop my face onto it. And then they also talk a little bit about Joey adding money to Michael's account. So I think that's going to come up later, but that's on the back burner. So anyway, it makes Joey a little worried that Michael might be going back to his old ways of crime when he gets out. Because it's like, you know, this is wrongdoing to get what I want, right? This Photoshop. So the affection level is really high, though, because Joey says that he considers Michael to be the person that rescued him from, I don't know, depression or whatever it was. So after the call, at some point, Joey comes out to the kitchen and talks to his dad, Emil. So he tells Emil about all the issues with this Photoshopping this picture and, you know, how he has to doctor a picture photo just to be able to see his boyfriend. And Emil asks Joey if he really trusts his whole relationship right now. And Joey says he does, but he isn't ready to jump straight into like getting married or anything. But that's what Michael wants. Jeez. So Emil has his doubts. But I guess if things are going to get serious, we should probably meet him maybe on a video call or something. So Emil is concerned that Michael when he gets out, isn't going to be a changed man, right? But like, because like Emil, Michael is like ex-military, ex-Navy. So Emil was like, well, I'll give him a little bit of a pass for that. But still, So he wonders about Michael going into addiction recovery. And the whole thing is something the family knows a lot about, because Joey and Emil are both recovering alcoholics. And Joey, even after he stopped drinking, started using meth instead. So he has a lot of addiction in his background. So back to Emil, he's like, yeah, he basically is giving Joey the "this might just be prison talk" speech, and was like, if I'm going to trust this guy, I need to see actions. I need to see actual change and not just what he's talking about from here. So then, of course, then we have, you know, the trope of his show. Is Joey telling us that he's got a huge secret that he's hiding from his family.
Oh, gosh.
But we don't know what that is. We don't hear what that is. So let's start with this big secret. Do you have any speculation as to what this secret might be?
Maybe that he's moving out with Michael and doing something. I mean, he's been there for 10 years. I'm assuming that he's got to have worked at some point. And I'm also assuming his family isn't charging him any kind of rent. And so I can see how he has a lump sum of savings somewhere. So I think it has something to do with money, whether it's how much he spent on Michael, possibly, you know, because even like, you know, during their video call, Michael says, "Did you remember to put money on my books?"
Right.
You know, because apparently that's something that's happening every week. So either like maybe they would be shocked with the amount of money he's given him over time.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or maybe they would be shocked like he's going to do some big financial gesture or something towards Michael's release, like getting a place for just Michael or getting a place for them or moving somewhere else because of Michael specifically.
Oh, yeah, moving somewhere else completely, not even nearby. I can see that.
Right.
I could
also
see like maybe him and Michael are already married and the parents don't know that yet. Like,
what state are they in again?
I don't know. Oh, Idaho.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like his dad was pretty supportive of like him being gay, at least.
Yeah, that wasn't
the
secret.
Why would his family, you know, not approve of that? Why would he feel a need to keep it a secret?
I mean, we've seen it before. We've seen prisoners before where we've had like, I forget which one. We definitely had straight couples where it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're keeping it a secret that we're actually married already. Remember, we've had that with – I can't remember the names of the couples, but we had that with couples where it was like, well, actually, guys, we're not getting married.
Well, I remember the opposite happening.
Oh, right.
You know,
she
someone
said we
pretending
were married. Yeah.
To be married when they really weren't.
I mean, that's what I was thinking of. Yes. Yes, this relationship is real, and I made up a fake marriage to prove it to you, right?
Right. Here's a fake marriage license. Why would you do that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that goes the other way. That's probably true.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, why am I forgetting his name already? Michael, he is giving me like creepy vibes. I don't know what it is about him. I don't know if it's that he was trying to make things so sexual all the time. Maybe it's his very intense mugshot they keep on showing.
Right.
But it's just there's something about him that gives me creepy vibes at this point.
No, I agree. I would say based on what we've seen so far is this seems like a prime candidate for our typical trajectory of this show, where it's like, oh no, I'm going to be committed. We're going to be together. It means so much. Get out immediately, hooking up with a bunch of other people and like doing shady shit.
Being shady. Yeah.
Like that definitely seems like he could be a prime candidate for that because part of it is, you know, that prison talk thing, but part of that is just like the fact that he's being like, Joey's like, I don't know if I want to break the rules like that. And he's like, shut up about rules. Who gives a shit? Like, that's not a good sign that he's actually like turned any corner or changed, is interested in changing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of breaking some rules, let's move on to our next couple, Tenny and Rob. So in Yukon, Oklahoma, we meet Tenny, 34. She's a stay-at-home mom and wife to Rob, 34, who is in prison for robbery with a firearm. Rochelle is a designated friend to help introduce Tenny, who says she doesn't have a life anymore because of the kids and Rob. They've been married for 4 years. We then get some video footage of Rob in prison, who is showing us his bunk, which seems to have a lot of stuff for, you know, being in prison. He's serving an 18-year sentence and has 2 more years to go. Rob says that when he first got to prison, he was getting in a lot of trouble because he just didn't care. And now he has something to live for. Tenney and Rob had originally dated for a few months in high school, but then lost touch. When Rob was in prison, he saw that Tenney had wished him a happy birthday on Facebook, which led to private messages, and things went on from there. Rob has cameras set up in Tenney's house, so he knows Rochelle was there. Tenney says it's for security. The cameras aren't in the kids' rooms or the bathroom, so Tenney doesn't really mind. Rob says that prison guards let him run his show because they have respect for him, and he's not breaking any code. Well, it does end up that having a cell phone is breaking code. Mm-hmm. But then Rob explains that the guards think of him as a shot caller, so they need him to have a phone. So when shit goes down in prison, Rob can make a few calls and get the inmates in line. I was like, what the hell is this story?
That sounds, okay, the way he said, he tried to do the shot caller thing, but when I did it, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, so they let him have a phone so that he can snitch with that phone.
Oh, interesting.
He's just a snitch. So, that's what he is.
Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense because he kind of made it seem like, oh, I'm well respected here. Like, I need to be running my business yes. and I need a phone.
It may have been like, wait, are the guards part of your criminal enterprise right. that you're the head of? It's like,
yes,
like exactly. Goodfellas or something. What is this? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It definitely sounded very suspicious. I was like, what is this? Okay. So friend Rochelle is kind of taken aback with the whole camera situation. But Tenney says that no one seems to understand their relationships. We then meet her kids, Cheyenne and Nehemiah, who are not Rob's biological children, but he loves them like his own. Tenney is getting the kids ready to go visit Rob. They've been visiting almost every weekend. On the way to prison, Rob calls, is on speakerphone, and tells Tenney, saying that he needs to talk to her, and it sounds serious. Rob says that he needs to tell her something she's not going to like, and he hasn't made it a priority to tell her yet. After the visit, it doesn't seem like Rob has told Tenney any bad news because he calls and is sweet-talking to her on the speakerphone, making the kids want to gag. Rob says that maybe he'll tell her when he gets out. Tenney is just going to wait for him to bring it back up. Nehemiah says it's going to be weird having a dad back in the house. The kids are used to being watched all the time, like when Rob catches them eating on the couch when they know they're not supposed to. Cheyenne is nervous about how he's planning on dealing with discipline when he's home. There's only a few weeks until his release. Tenney thanks the kids for being so supportive and never complaining. Cheyenne is excited about Rob getting out because now she can hang out with her friends on the weekend instead of having to go visit him in the visitation room. She's a little nervous about how his relationship will be with her mom when he does get out. All right, so what do you think Rob's role is going to be in the house? Do you think he's going to be the shot caller slash snitch in the house with the kids?
I think he is going to, you know, come in there and be like, I'm the big man. I'm in charge. I'm always mm-hmm. concerned when kids that have literally, like, I guess they did meet him because they went to prison with him. But, like, it's always concerning to me when they're calling him dad before he gets out of prison. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's always a little bit of a red flag for me. So I'm like, not as big of a red flag. It's him constantly watching everyone all the time.
Yeah.
From prison. Yeah. That's weird. Like, super weird and not at all okay. And she should not be okay with that. That's right. Bonkers.
But I get the impression that Tenney and her kids are all just very sweet, very easygoing people. You know, like, how many kids do you have that have like a stepdad situation or even a re-entering dad in the situation uh-huh. where they're not like, well, you know, fighting back or rebelling, like, well, he's not my dad. I'm not going to listen to him, you know, like,
right. And this is,
but these kids are kind of like nervous. Like, how is he going to discipline me? You know, like, they're just sweet, easygoing. Like, they already know, like, who's the authority figure. They're not trying to rebel. Like, they're all just very sweet, compliant people.
Yeah, and it is different because they've been married for like 4 years. Like, so it's not like mm-hmm. it's not like he's been new. And I thought the daughter yeah. was funny because she was just like, oh, finally, I can get, once he gets out, I have weekends free. I can do things. Like, that sounds amazing. Right. Like, I can't wait. No, nothing about like, I'm glad Rob will be around as much as it's like, oh God, I'm just glad we don't have to go visit him in prison every freaking week. So yeah, I mean, I do think they're sweet, but I also think Tenny is to the point where it just sounds like she's gullible. Like, oh, he just wants these cameras around so he can, because he's worried about our security. And it's like, that is not what he is worried about. Like,
right.
Nope. That is not why he wants those cameras there at 2 a.m. watching them. Just you'd be like, hi, baby. And he's like, I'm watching. Like, just, oh, it's so creepy. In her bedroom. Like, she mentioned that. I could wake up at 2:30 a.m. and be like, hi. And I know he's going to be watching them. I was like, what if he was in the room watching you? How would you feel about that? How would you feel about him just sitting in the room watching you sleep? That would be creepy. And it's creepy to watch you sleep on cameras.
Right. I think it's also, like, I don't know, maybe another level of creepy that he's watching and constantly commenting on their lives.
Yes.
Right? It would be one thing to have, like, the camera set up and you're kind of, like, unsure if he's watching you or not. And maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Right? But it's like, he's constantly commenting on everything. The fact that her friend was over, why didn't you tell me your friend was coming over?
Yes. Like, why does he need that? That's one of those things. It's like, that's kind of a crazy thing to need to know. Like, you didn't tell, you tied the secrets from me, your friend came over, like, oh my God, that's like,
it's her friend, it's not even a guy friend, you know, like, are you really so mistrusting? Like, can't she has to run by all her social decisions by you?
Yeah, and that, and like the eating on the couch, like, they kind of giggle it off. That sounds weird as hell to me, that you would sit on a couch and somebody on the from the voice of God out of a speaker is just like, why are you eating on the couch? We're eating on the couch now? Huh? Like, dude, why are you watching me?
Right.
Like, and it's a different step-parent relationship, but like, it's not healthy to feel like you're constantly being watched. It's incredibly stressful. Well,
that's got to be so weird for the kids, right? Yes. It's like you've never known a life where someone isn't always watching you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they are weirdly compliant and easygoing.
Literally wrote an entire dystopian book about it, like how hard it is and how bad it is to feel that someone is constantly watching you.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I was kind of confused, too, because they originally said 2 more years that he has. And then later they're like 2 more weeks until he's out. So I don't know. Guess he's getting out soon.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. Well, at least. Yeah. This was one of those. Like, how long are we going to. When they got to 2 weeks, I was like, well, how are we going to get a whole season out of the 2 weeks while he's still in jail? Like, we're assuming he'll come back next time, but that seems like a lot of episodes for a short amount of time.
Right.
All right. So the last couple we saw was Andrew and Candace. So we start off in Greenwich, New Jersey, where we're at Andrew's house, and we just see him packing some stuff up. There's clothes, there's toiletries, and he says he's taking them with him when he goes to Vegas to meet with Candace. Candace is his girlfriend, I guess. Now we get to the fiance part later. So he says after getting out, she's getting out in a few days, so we're already in that situation. We're like, how are we making a whole season out of this? And so he's really going overboard. He says he loves to give gifts. Like, it's clearly a love language thing. He just wants to get her everything. But, you know, while he and his friend James are there loading up his truck, Candace calls, and we start to hear like their whole backstory. So they've been dating for almost a year, so less than a year. And Candace, who is 29, has been in prison for burglary. So it turns out that James, which is a work friend of Andrew's, who is, by the way, he's 40. James was the one that encouraged Andrew to get onto the prison pen pal website where he met Candace. So they hit it off, and they were just like lots of handwritten letters that we see, you know, the whole drawer full of envelopes. And after 3 or 4 letters, it was exclusive. And they're talking about the start of their relationship. So they're taking enough stuff with them in this truck to fill up her apartment in Vegas. Remember, he's in Jersey, where he's going to be paying something like $1,400 a month to pay for her apartment, where she's going to have to live until she can get permission to move to New Jersey. And we know that that can take a few months, as we've seen in other seasons. So Candace's voice, we get her picture instead of just the prison like mugshot, is like a heavily filtered Snapchat thing with like sparkles and skin embellishments. So she says that she doesn't think she's gonna miss Andrew when she's in there, because he'll just come to Vegas whenever she wants him to. He'll just come on out. So also, she's going to be keeping the truck that he's driving out there. I guess he's driving the truck. She's keeping that too, and he's packing all the stuff into it. So he says he's sunk like $10,000 to $15,000 on this relationship so far. So Andrew tells us that he's been married and divorced twice already, and the last relationship with someone who feels like he feels like was just using him to get more and more stuff and money. But this relationship, as he's packing up stuff and money into a truck to give her, this one's totally different. So it's also not stopping him from getting a ring because he plans to propose to her as soon as she gets out. So later on, Andrew is meeting with a financial planner, and it's not any kind of financial planning office I've ever been to. It's like a very sketchy look. I thought it was like a payday loan like place in a strip mall. So anyway, he's excited about Candace getting out, but wants someone else to kind of look at the numbers and tell him he can afford to run two households like he's planning on doing. So they add up his monthly bills on the screen as he goes through all his expenses. They like literally like put a number on the bottom of the screen that keeps getting bigger as he keeps adding the things that he has to pay for. Yeah. Like rent, car payments, utilities, food, entertainment, child support, loan repayments. And it all when it all adds up, he's still making more than he's spending, but not by much. So he'd still be pretty much living paycheck to paycheck. So his solution then is like, well, that doesn't seem good. You think I should get another credit card? And she's like, no, oh, God, gosh. No. She's like, you need more income and no more debt. Don't do that. And he's like, oh, okay. But then as he's walking out, tells us that, you know, he's not worried about borrowing his 401k, borrowing from his 401k wow. again. Like, oh.
What's wrong with these people?
Because being with Candace is worth them being broke. Is worth being broke. So if,
yeah, but old and broke and alone. Well,
the
thing
is if he's broke, as we see, there's not good of a chance if he's broke that Candace is going to stick around. Because later on.
Which is why I say alone and old, because, you know, this is his future.
Yeah. A few hours later, he's on the phone with Candace and he mentioned that, oh, I was talking to a financial advisor, and she gets really pissed. She's like, how, what? You were talking financial, there are things you're not telling me. You have to be hiding something from me. Why would you hide that? Why would you do this? What? It very much seems like she does not want to hear that he's worried about the money that he's spending for whatever reason. Yeah. So she hangs up on him, and that's kind of where we leave things right here. I mean, so this has all the hallmarks of it. I mean, is this just an obvious gold digger situation?
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious gold digger situation. This is another Destiny. This is another Nicole. Like, mm-hmm. You know, all of these people combined. And it's like, I don't know how – like, I get that your love language is gifts, but it just seems like, you know, if she's not reciprocating the same gifts and it seems so one-sided, right. It always makes me question, like, what are they getting out of it? You know, especially when they're in prison because they can't get the other love languages, right? They can't get the physical touch.
Well, yeah,
they can't really get the quality time just because they're limited with phone calls and communication. So it's like they can't get the acts of service because they're like separated. You know, it's like what are you getting from this relationship other than being able to say to yourself and to others that I have someone? That someone loves me. And that to me is just like, well, you can say that, but is that really true? And how is that fulfilling really in the end?
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of these people just want to be able to bring up an Instagram page and say, this one's mine. Like, that's it. That's what they're getting out of it. To be able to say that I wasn't completely rejected from everybody. Right.
Right.
Which is one of those things that's like, you know, always one of those work on yourself and all of a sudden you get what you were looking for. And like, instead of just going for it, because he clearly needs to work on himself. Like he's been down this. And especially the disturbing part for this one is he tells us his previous wife was a gold digger. Right. And he had the same situation and was like, and you're just going to fall into that again. Like it's wild to me that not only do people do it, but people do it repeatedly. This pattern is feeling exactly the same, but this time it's different because I really feel she loves me. Like I don't, because I really love her. So it can't be that, you know, it's like, well, didn't you think that the last time? It's so confusing to
me. Right. I think the other thing that's really frustrating for this situation is the stuff that he's getting her. If he had a ton of money, Like, and that was like what he can't is able to comfortably give. That would be one story.
Right.
But sure. He is ruining his own life to give her, you know, all these things. And it's like he doesn't know that this relationship is truly going to last. And it just it seems like this huge gamble where he is at such high risk. And it's like, what does she have to lose? A relationship with him? Big deal.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, I just don't understand that situation. Like, I get, you know, once again, your love language is gifts. You like showering people with gifts. But I mean, I just don't see how other people don't see it as I'm buying this relationship, right? It's not even like I'm giving you things that I can afford comfortably, and it truly is a gift, as opposed to I'm giving you things that you want to keep you in this relationship.
Right, because I know if I feel like if I don't give them to you, you won't stay.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. And I think that's different. That's what he's doing. I don't think that's not gift giving.
Right.
That's not gift giving in the love language way of gift giving. That's just bribery, bribing them to stay in the relationship.
Yeah.
Because it goes the other way. Like, to me, the biggest red flag that I saw was the truck. I get that she needs to have a place to stay and needs to have a vehicle while she's there. Why does it have to be a $75,000 truck?
Yeah. I doubt that was his idea either, you know? It's like – in the fact that he even has a financial planner to begin with, it's like he's thinking about the costs of things or concerned about it.
But that's the red flag too, is she doesn't want him to see a financial planner because she knows exactly what the financial planner is going to tell him to do.
Yeah.
And it stops spending so much money.
All these are terrible decisions.
Yes.
Right. Oh my goodness. All right. So we were introduced to these four couples. Do we know how many couples total?
It looks like there was six. And that's based on like at the beginning, they throw up like six pictures and then of mugshots and then show six like people who are on the outside. So I think it's six.
Okay, well, so we've been introduced to four out of the six. A lot of interesting stories going on here already. So out of this group, who would you say is your student of the week?
Oh, man, this is a tough one because I didn't like any of them very much. I'll say Tenny. Like, Tenny seems to be the only person who doesn't have any glaring red flags and has good relationships with their children, which is at least that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right with the it was tough to pick and it's like hard to tell because it's the first episode and you don't want to immediately regret your choice.
Right.
But, you know, I did go with Tenny as well. The one thing that I would say that kind of made me hesitant about Tenny is, you know, introducing the kids and kind of really having them call him dad. But at the same time, like you said, they've been married for 4 years, so this guy shouldn't be going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
So, I mean, he could be at least you could argue for the kids like this guy is supposed to be a stable figure in their life. So, yeah. But all that being said, Tenny.
Yeah.
What about your dunce?
So I went with Rob for my dunce, which is part of the reason I was like hesitant for Tenny. I don't like doing the same couples. But those cameras are creepy as hell. And then we had that whole thing where he called her and made her nervous by saying, like, there's something important we have to talk about, and has never brought it up. Like,
yeah.
And that's like, so he's hiding whatever secrets he's hiding here. He knows he has to tell her something and just isn't doing it. Even after he told her he was going to, like, that's the hardest part. So I don't know what's up with that either.
Okay. I went with Ayana as our dunce just because it's not very often that we have the person who is on the outside actually being threatened with prison time too. So,
right.
I mean, she clearly has not made the best decisions, you know, that's going to land her in prison for 15 to 90 days. And just, okay, even completely separate from that, just her attitude about it. Like, why am I getting picked on? Why is my happiness being taken away? Like, what have I done? It's like, you know, clearly you're not understanding that you're breaking the law here. And perhaps this is a wake up call to say you can't do that.
Yes, stop getting in fights over even slash tires. Like, I would be mad if someone slashed my tires. I wouldn't attack them and try to bang
them. Well, that was the friend that did that to Ayana. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying,
yeah, yeah.
I know if it Yes. But my reaction to someone slashing my tires would not be to try to make their face one with the pavement.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of bad life decisions going on here for Ayana. So, yeah, she's probably had a rough life, but this is not how to get herself out of the situation.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. Also, the fact that she really only cares about her man's penis.
Right. That was. Okay. I mean, I definitely get.
Maybe
the,
we
get
should reprioritize.
But yes, of all the priorities to have. Like, I have two kids, and, like, we're going to talk mostly about penises. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not talk about how this man can help me take care of my kids. Or
how much, you know, the love is.
Build
or how,
a family.
Yeah, how he supports me. It makes me a tip. No, not penises. Yeah. Penis.
Right. Right. Yeah, penis. Good penis. Mm-hmm. All right. What about your life lesson?
Don't touch your 401k, man. Leave that shit alone.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, it's...
How many have we had that have done that?
It's so short-sighted.
So short-sighted. Yeah, you expect to never retire.
And you know what? The sad part is that some people, like, do, right? Some people are like, well, what's the point of having that? I'm never going to be able to retire. And, like, that's just so... It's just short-sighted. Like, yes, you are going to be able to retire as long as you don't do dumb things like this. Now, I'm not saying nobody's ever been in a situation where they had to cover medical expenses or whatever, and it's like you just didn't have an option, right? But he has an option. This man has an option to not touch his 401k.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And it's always amazing to me that the people who are doing this are always, like, kind of in their, like, late 30s to early 40s, where I feel like that's, like, the most important time to be thinking about your retirement.
Oh,
you know, when you're really, really young, it's like easy to kind of put it off for like a year or two because it's like,
and you shouldn't. Yeah, but and you shouldn't. But like
right.
at the end of the day, but like right now, if you the later you start to think about your retirement, the worse off it is, right? And
sure,
by the time you're in your it is in his late 40s. Like it is.
Yeah.
No, that is.
And you're starting from square one. That's stupid.
Your retirement in your late 40s should be a big, huge. This is the thing that must be worried about right now. This is a huge deal right now. Yes, I agree.
Right, right. Okay. So my life lesson was kind of inspired by Candace because of what she did. So if you name all the things you're excited for, because Candace, she did. And your partner is the last thing you mention, you might just not be that into them.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Candace was like, I'm so excited for my new truck. I'm so excited for my new place. I'm so excited to like be out. And then I guess Andrew, you know, was just like, do you even like this guy? You listed him the very last thing.
Right, and we've
like,
seen,
oh, excited to
we've
see Andrew.
Definitely seen almost all of our gold diggers are like, kind of like that. They're excited for all the things and they're like, and I'll be able to put up with this guy for all this stuff. And then they get out. They're like, no, I can't. This guy sucks. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
he's way worse than I thought he would be. Yeah. It's not worth it. But let me keep the stuff and, you know, you can.
But,
you
know, but it's my stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Right. So, you know, yeah, that is actually a good extension to this life lesson. It's like, you know, are you going to be able to handle that person for what you're...
Yeah. Even if you think of it as transactionally,
enough,
like, yeah, are you willing? Yeah. Do you know you can make that transaction?
Right. Okay. So we will be back same time next week. Same group, possibly more joining us.
Yep. That's what it sounds like. Hopefully we get more. And it's always a bad sign when it goes like five episodes without seeing a couple, because it's always like this couple is not going to last the entire season. they're going to be done.
Well, I mean, if you were to call it right now, who would you say is not going to last this whole season?
Who is not going to last this whole season right now? I feel like Candace is going to be able to drag Andrew on for a couple seasons.
I think so, too. And I think, you know, part of it, and I'm sure this was the case with Destiny and Nicole, it's like they're also getting like the temptation of money from the show, right? The more episodes you're on, the more money you get because you're getting paid per episode.
Right.
So it's like motivation for them to fake a relationship for the sake of the show. And then as soon as it wraps, you know, filming, just be done with this relationship altogether.
So if I'm making predictions right now, I get those. I think Candace drags out Andrew for a couple years, just like drag him out to bleed him dry. I feel like Joey and Michael might be the quickest one done. Like that one just so far strikes me as he's just going to go back to his old ways instantly. And then Teddy and Rob have just been married for so long that I think that's probably going to be They're probably gonna be stable. And then Ayanna Jamal, just that one might strike me as our what was her name with Boston and her man and like this fought.
Yeah,
she went on forever, even though it was like, why are you fighting for this dude? I could see that being one of those situations.
Ty,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely go with Joey Michael, most likely to not be together. And then after them, I would say Ayanna Jamal. Mm-hmm. Just because it just seems like they didn't get started in the best way with this explosive fight.
Right. It was definitely, I was dating this person.
And then the thing,
it was definitely some sort of love triangle, stole my man thing going on for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know if I really see this as lasting a long time. Yeah. Also, it just seems like Ayanna, one of her kids is 2, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's like a recent baby daddy in the picture. So,
I don't
know.
True.
Like, there could be some drama wrapped up in that. Because who knows how long she's been dating Jamal, but she knew him prior to 2 years. I'm assuming.
Yeah, sounds like it, at least.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns there, but there also is a lot of potential issues. Just they're the most volatile couple.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's definitely the ones they're looking for. Like, there's going to be fights. Fight. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So until then, and we will find out shortly, I guess. Soon.
Yes.
Soon enough.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Until then,
talk to
we'll
everybody
see
next week. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.